So we're back in the book of Jonah. Moving a little further, last week we took a look at the first five verses. Today we'll dig a little deeper and go a little further and see if we can't learn a little more. If you're able to physically stand, would you please do so? Our text is actually verses 6 through 16, but I'm only going to read verses 6 through 9. We'll cover the remainder of the verses in the sermon. But to give us a context, I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. Jonah chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. Now, this is after Jonah and the sailors now are in this storm that God himself has brought upon them. So the captain came and said to him, that is to Jonah, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give you a thought to us. Perhaps the God will give you a thought to us that we may not perish." Verse 7. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And finally, verse 9, and he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Amen. Our Father, we bow before you and confess we want to hear from you this morning. Lord, speak, for your people listen. Help us to know not only what you say, help us to know what you mean by what you say and how it applies to our lives. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you again. Our subject is running from evangelism. Running from evangelism. Connect the dots from last week. Last week we saw that it's God who is the initiator of the plan of evangelism. It's not our idea. It's not our plan. God is the one who tells us to go. It's not just excuses that we make. It is to disobey God is what? Is sin. We saw in verses 4 and 5, that running also is deceptive and dangerous. If you really think you can run and evade God, you are deceiving yourself. And any Christian knows that. It's just that sin is deceptive. Yes? It's deceptive. As one of my seminary professors says, anybody that sins has temporary insanity. Any Christian that sins has that small moment or two when you were insane to think that you could disobey God and have no consequences. Yes? And so that's the reason the Bible would show us the people come to themselves. You know, when David had weeks, months of insanity, thinking that he could get away with adultery and murder and all of the sin in his life. But when you are a believer, God knows that you've got a new mind. Uh-huh. And that new mind can be taught even when you find yourself in a dull place. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Yeah. So running is deceptive and dangerous. And then we saw in verse 5 that running negatively affects other people. You affect other people when you are disobeying God. Those around you get affected negatively. And we're going to see that oftentimes they're trying to help fix your mess and they can't. You understand? Or vice versa. You may be trying to fix somebody's mess that's running from God. And you're wasting your time and your money and your skills. All right? We together?
Amen.
Now don't get all depressed on me. This is real. This is real life. We want to learn. The Bible gives us these lessons in the Old Testament for what? For us to learn. Amen? Yes. Okay, so let's, I want to, today, as we look at Jonah on the run, I want to show you that there's no place to hide spiritually when God has commissioned you to evangelize. I also want you to know there's no place to hide physically when God has commanded and commissioned us to evangelize. All right? Let's dive in. So as we begin, I want to show you what I mean by there's no place to hide spiritually. God will confront us in our sin if you're a believer. That's love. It's no different than a parent and their child. Now, you got modern psychology that says, oh, just let your child, kind of let your child grow up. I saw this modern family that said they never discipline their children. They just let them eventually learn on their own. Now, you can imagine what kind of disaster that is. And they show their household. Chaotic, but then eventually they think that their children are going to learn just by natural processes. You see, God, that's the reason God would say to you and I, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to that kind of understanding. Yes? So, confrontation. What do I mean by that? God used an unbeliever to confront Jonah directly. You see verse 6? So the captain, now you know Jonah, Jonah is trying to sleep off his guilt. You know how we can do when we're in trouble. before we were saved, we tried to get as high as we could. Y'all do know that's why people get high. They don't want to deal with reality. That's why I got high. Now, I didn't say that at the time. But why else get high? Why else do you want to get out of your mind? If being in your mind was so great, then why not stay in your mind? Why not stay sober? Yes? And so sleeping is another way to try to get out of your guilt. But thank God he doesn't allow that to continue. So the captain, you got verse 6, came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. You see? The boat is in this terrible storm. And Jonah is sleeping, trying to sleep off his guilt because he knows he's the cause of it, okay? Secondly, I want you to notice that when God confronts you, he'll also use natural means around you, okay? He's already confronted Jonah directly, but then he's also, just to confirm it, he uses natural means. You see verse 7? And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on who? Why? That's God's plan. God does not allow his children to stay in sin. That is love. Thank God for that. That's what we can count on, right? We got a good father. And so then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? You see, it's like you're trying to fly under the radar at your job. You just want to kind of blend in. You don't want to make any waves. You don't want folks necessarily to know you're a Christian. You just want to kind of cruise through. And so you're not going to be an ambassador for Christ there. He's going to confront you. He's going to confront you. And so that confrontation comes. And I say this as we leave this point. You and I know that every resource is available to God, yes? God can use anything and anybody he wants to when he plans to communicate with us. And that is a wonderful blessing. Now, what comes after the confrontation? Jonah is, again, trying to hide spiritually, trying to hide emotionally. Then comes confession. Look at verse 9. And he said, that's Jonah, and he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Every true believer recognizes when God is in your face, when God won't leave you alone, when God won't let you sleep. Now, in this case, I believe that Jonah was having miserable sleep. It's an amazing thing how God can deal with you when you're guilty. You ever had that? You ever had sleepless nights? You're trying to sleep and God just won't let. Now, you may not think it. That's a blessing. It's a blessing that God doesn't let you sleep off. You see, because if you begin to do that, think of how you build a pattern there. You sin and your conscience bother you, you can just sleep it off. But God comes and you recognize when God is confronting you about your sin. And then you notice this. A true believer will make honest confession when confronted and convicted of sin. Before, look at this pattern. Before, Jonah was not ashamed of his sin, but he was ashamed of God. Right? He wasn't ashamed of the fact that he was on the run, but he was ashamed to let people know about his God and that he believed in God. After he's been confronted and convicted of his sin, it's what? It's just the opposite. Now what? He's ashamed of his sin, but he's not ashamed of God. That's the way it should be. Amen? Sin brings shame. And when I don't want to face the shame, I try to find anything to get me from thinking about it. Because the more I think about it, the more shame hurts. You notice he calls him the God of heaven. Why did he do that? The God of heaven is the one who controls the sea. Now, you follow what I'm saying here. You got this confrontation and this confession, and I want you to notice the impact on the unbelievers. You got verse 10? Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that they were fleeing. The men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them. You see, honest confession gets it out. When God convicts you, now you tell the truth. I'm on the run because I'm trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. They might not understand it, but I'm telling you the truth now. Right. I was hiding it before. When the conviction comes, you tell people the truth. Unbelievers acknowledge the God of heaven in times of danger. I cannot tell you. I used to have some for real arrogant heathen co-workers. But I remember the time that one of them got a serious terminal illness. And it's amazing how they can start saying, Lord, have mercy when danger happens. Or when they had a crisis with one of their children. Unbelievers acknowledge the God of heaven in times of danger. Now, I'm going to say this to you. Don't be so critical when that happens. Be thankful that at least, it's like I've seen people do this. I've seen people be really critical when people come to church at Christmas and Easter. Why is that a bad thing? Be thankful that they what? That they came. Because you never know. It might be on one of those Christmas or Easter times, what? When God speaks to them. So I really want all of us to think through the benefit of those times when people acknowledge the God of heaven, even though they're in trouble. Even your own children, your own relatives. You say, well, the only reason you're saying that is because you're in trouble. Well, okay, but at least they're at that point. Yes? You understand what I'm saying? They acknowledge the God of heaven in times of danger. And this is what's amazing here. you'll see my statement there? Unbelievers are shocked when they see that a believer living in sin, and you actually endangered them. You see, the unbeliever already thinks that you're playing the game anyway. They already think that this is not insignificant what you're doing. But then to see that you'd actually live in such a way that you'd be causing me problems. You see the damage to the, as God said, to the name of God, to the name of Christ. See what kind of damage we bring when we're running from God, and God lets unbelievers see our unfaithfulness. Think of this. You now are an ambassador for Christ, and you are too ashamed to let people know. You see the irony of that? You're telling me you serve the living God, and you're not even willing to acknowledge him? Now, see, we don't say that, but oftentimes that's what happens when we want to blend in. At school, at work, at the gym. I have it all the time at the gym. Now, I've told y'all before, I don't go around telling people I'm a preacher. I don't even know how I got out, but it did. You know, because, you know, I don't laugh at their jokes. I remember one time they had these pictures on their phones and all. And, you know, the muscle group were over there, they were doing their thing. And they saw me coming, one of them saw me, and I saw them. Every one of them put their phone up. Now, why am I saying that? I'm thankful that they were respectful. You understand?
That's right.
But that wasn't, I didn't go to the gym for that to happen. But I wasn't going to be ashamed of the gospel there. Right? You know, God didn't give you a job just for your, how shall I say it? That isn't just your place of evangelism. But he did put you there as light and to be an ambassador for Christ. If you get an opportunity to evangelize for Christ, don't be ashamed, right, of the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? You see, it's easy to look at Jonah. But I want us all to think about our own situations, yeah? And how we may be affecting all the unbelievers around us. Every day. I'll leave it with this point right here. This is a note I made for myself. I really want you to listen and think. God knows when we are using spiritual and emotional excuses to avoid evangelism. Things like, well, I worry too much, so that's the reason I don't talk to people. Or I'm just a really fearful person. Or I just don't speak very well. You see how we're hiding behind all those excuses? Moses tried to do that, didn't he? You remember that? Or now here's the one that really people think is really a good excuse. Well, see, I don't know the Bible that well. What are those? Excuses. You see what I'm saying? You're trying to hide behind those emotional excuses, and God will find you out. You follow me so far? There's no place to hide spiritually. Jonah was trying to sleep. Some of us are trying to hide behind all these other excuses. You can't do it. God wants us to be ambassadors for Christ, and you cannot continue to hide. The last thought is this. There's no place to hide physically. Now, I want you to see the same pattern. God is going to find you out if you're trying to hide physically. You got verse 11? Look at verse 11. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. You see, now Jonah has confessed. The unbelievers recognize that this harm has come from a divinity, from the God of Jonah, from Jonah's God, we are now in trouble, okay? And they want relief, just like you and I want relief, okay? So they recognize divine activity, and they seek relief from that divine activity. When a believer is responsible, they seek him or her for solutions. This is really important. When unbelievers come to you for answers to their problems, do you have a clear enough conscience that you've represented Christ in a way that you you can give them true answers? All people are going to face crisis. And sometimes God brings you all into these crises together. There's about to be a layoff. Everybody's going to be laid off. Unbelievers want to know how you're going to handle it. Why is God doing this to me? You see? There can be many other issues and situations. But unbelievers want answers. And God expects you to be ready. Anytime people ask you about the hope that's in you, right? Be ready to give an answer with certainty, with hope. And so that's the confrontation. The next thing I notice is that then there's confession. Just as we saw before, you see verse 12? He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Is that clear enough? He is confessing now that I was trying to hide physically, but that no longer is true. I'm in the open now. I want you to notice this. Jonah is being taught to love and sacrifice for what he considers to be undesirable unbelievers. We talked about that last week. And I want you to really think through that. Who are your undesirable unbelievers? The ones that you just avoid at every turn. And don't say you don't have any. Who are those that are the last ones that you consider going to? God is teaching us what it means to love everyone. He had to teach Jonah to love those that you would normally avoid. Now notice this. Jonah is being taught to love and sacrifice for them. And then look at this. He's now willing to sacrifice his own life to save theirs. He never would have done that before. You see what he said? Now that God has confronted me about my sin, I'm the cause of your trouble. Throw me overboard and save yourselves. That's what agape love is. Giving your life that others might live. Is that the way we got saved? God so loved the world that he, what? Gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. We love Christ because he gave his life for us. If you want people to listen to you, they need to know that you love them. Not just that you want them to become Christians, you actually love them. Yeah? And that's a whole lot more than just throwing tracts in front of people. If you want people to think you don't love them, do that. Just kind of, you know, go lay tracts on their desk or in there, or put. And I'm not being crass, but I want you to see how insensitive this is, how cold that is. You know, just sticking tracks on cars. And I'm not being critical, but I want you to see the difference between that and actually personally interacting with a person. Yes? So God wants us to know what it means to sacrifice your own life. Sacrifice time, your own money, spend your own gas. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I believe God is trying to get us ready to be real evangelists here. Then finally, I want you to notice the impact on unbelievers. You got verse 13? Look at verse 13. I want you to see that unbelievers, I think I told y'all this already. Unbelievers often try to fix a rebellious Christian's messes. This is an amazing thing. They're in the situation with you. They know that you're the cause of the problem as a Christian, and they're actually trying to help you. Notice verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard. Now, Jonah has told them, throw me overboard, and all your problems will be over. What did the unbelievers do? Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Why did that happen? They're working against God. When God does not want you to fix an unbeliever's mess, you can't do it. I mean, when God, I'm sorry. You don't understand what I'm saying? When God does not want you to fix a believer's mess, because when God is disciplining us, he wants us to learn the lesson. And you trying to make it, parents, this is a hard lesson to learn. Just on a practical level. How many times have I tried to make it easy for my sons when they were in trouble? Right? Now, I'm not, and you know what, I'm not trying to speak negatively against parents loving their children. I'm just saying that there are times we need to be discerning. Yeah? And we don't always know. I mean, as a young parent, I didn't know that continuing to throw money at this thing or at that thing, I didn't know that that wasn't going to help. Till eventually you what? You see that that's not, I'm not helping in this situation. Got it? And so God wants us to know that when he is applying discipline in our lives, other people can't fix it. We got to slow down and ask God what's going on. And in this particular case, evangelism isn't a plaything with God. This is people's lives. Their soul, their eternal life is at stake. Do you think he's not going to get us together? People's eternal souls is at stake? And we cruising along trying to fly under the radar? Now again, it's easy to see Jonah's issue, right? But we got to think about our own. Amen? Yeah. Unbelievers often try to solve a rebellious believer's troubles. Now, I want you to notice, God eventually causes unbelievers to humbly participate in a believer's discipline. What do you mean by that, brother? You got verse 14? Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. Now, these are the unbelievers. All right? So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. What? Yeah. When Jonah is no longer on the run, there's no need for a raging sea. Isn't that interesting? Is that in your Bible? As soon as they threw him overboard, the storm stopped. That in your Bible? Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. God is at work, even when he's applying discipline to our lives. Other people are observing. Some of the storms in our lives are because we are on the run. And you've been trying to fix it with your credit card and with loans, trying to fix it with people giving you advice. I'm not being critical. You understand? I'm just saying, I think we need to be discerning about what's going on in our lives and why. God is getting us ready for evangelism. But it's got to be on his terms. He tells us where to go. You see, this is the problem with Jonah. God told Jonah where to go. What did Jonah say? I don't think so. Is God making suggestions? Trinity, we don't have a church. Amen. God, this is God's church. And he said, Jesus says, I will build my church. The Lord, as Job said, the Lord adds, the Lord takes away. But he's doing his work. I assure you, this is not just a story. These truths were left for us to what? Learn from them. And this is not one of these feely good, oh boy. You remember, y'all remember when we went through Hebrews 12? Let me just show you this real quick and we're going to try to wrap up. Y'all remember when we went through Hebrews 12, we were talking about discipline from the Lord? I want you to listen to this one verse, verse 11. Listen to this. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Remember that? Hebrews 12:11. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. It's a wonderful thing to be disciplined by the Lord. If we learn. If we learn. Yes? If we learn. So, just remember this. The storm ceases when Jonah surrenders. The storm for our church will cease when we surrender. The storm in our lives individually will cease when we individually surrender. You understand what I'm saying? God knows when we are using physical, material excuses to avoid evangelism, hiding in our homes. Can't wait till church is over so I can go back to my home and hang out in my home with my TV. There's a good game on today. I'm just going to binge watch a few movies, you see? Hiding physically. Hiding behind our jobs. I mean, my job is secure and everything's going pretty good for me, you see? Hiding in schools. You're in a good school system, on a good team. Things are going well for us. You see, hiding physically. Hiding behind money just because you feel fairly secure. God will bring a storm into your safe and your comfortable situation that nobody can fix. Why would we want that? Why would God have to disrupt your finances or things at your home, things on your job? Why would God have to do that when all he is asking us to do is obey? sort of evangelism in your own attitude and in your own actions. I say to you, today is the day for honesty. Today is a day for confession. Before God has to send a storm of destruction into your own life and into your own circumstances. And if you recognize that you are simply on the boat with believers, or simply in the church with believers, but you are not a true believer, then today is a day of honesty for you too. Because just riding along with believers is not going to help you. Just crying out to God when you see something dangerous happening is not going to help you. You have got to surrender to Christ now. Jesus died to pay the penalty for every sin that you've ever committed, my friend. The best job, the best family, the best career, the best house, the best car, none of those things are going to help you if you don't know Christ. Today is a day of honesty and confession for all of us. Would you think about these things as we bow together? Lord, I want to thank you for